In a world where the internet is filled with trash-talking 12-year-olds, one website stands out as a safe haven of decent human behavior. Co-Optimus.
Oh yeah!
Co-Optimus, your prime source for co-op gaming.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. It is February 16th. This is Locke Vincent with my two co-hosts.
Yo.
Coming on my left and my right. On the left is Jason Love.
Yo again. Double yo, yo and squared.
All of the yos. Quadrupled. And on my right is Nick Paleo.
I've got no yos to give.
Jason stole them all. We're going to hit this hard because we're doing it live.
Zero yos given.
138. We don't even have show notes, so it doesn't even matter. Nope. But
we don't need them. Off the cuff.
We're down a man. I think Mike had some sort of pelvic surgery that he had to deal with. And he's out of commission, but we wish him tons of healing and bed rest so he can get back to thrusting as much as possible. But when it's all said and done, it really just comes down to what we've been playing this week. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been hunting monsters.
Yeah.
You guys been hunting monsters?
I hunted some monsters.
I've done no monster
hunting. How's
that
going for you?
I really like playing as a hunter. I don't like playing as the monster.
Why is that?
The early game for the monster is really, really frustrating, I think. Like, it just... I feel like there's very, like, depending on who you play as, it kind of stinks because you're locked into the Goliath first, and I think he's one of the tougher ones to play as.
Yeah.
But there's really no safe place on the maps to even take a breather. And so if the hunters get a beat on you early, you're done. Like, because you have to eat to even get up to be level with them.
Yeah, it's weird because at level one, the monster's got the three levels, and at level one, he starts out weaker, obviously, than the hunters. Level two, they're kind of on par. Level three, he's more powerful. But to get to level three, it takes quite a bit. Like, you have to do some sneaking and dodging, a couple fights here and there. And, the early game is really like cat and mouse. That's what I kind of alluded it to when you're playing as the monster. But for those of you who don't know, we're talking about Evolve and actually not Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
I was about to clarify that, yeah.
Because one of those games is good and one of those games is for crazy people. So, sorry about that confusion for all the people excited about Clawhand portable games. But
making a dragon for a hat.
Yeah, use a dragon skull. But that being said, I think Evolve is a cool platform. I'll say that again. I always allude to it as a platform, and I know I mentioned this last time we talked about it. On the surface, it seems like a very simple idea, which I think is an important case for a game, because you don't want it to be too complicated that the barrier, it's a barrier for entry, like something like a MOBA, or... You don't want it to be like super simple where it's like, okay, it gets boring after a while, because what's cool is that the premise for Evolve is super simple. If you're on the monster side, you run around, try and kill the hunters or survive, depending on the map type. And then if you're a hunter, you go around, use teamwork, coordinate, find the monster. But there are so many variables in that. And Nick, I know we talked about this with all the, when we were streaming, we tried out all those different hunters, which are, they're all super, different. Like, they're the three trappers are way different. That's who I was playing as. And one guy had like instead of throwing harpoon traps, he had an actual harpoon gun, so I could go jaws on that mofo and just like shoot it in the head and like harpoon it. This other guy had like stasis bombs that he could just like throw everywhere for like ambushes. It was really cool. So I think, and again, it's weird coming into it knowing so much. Like, I've been following this game for a number of years now, but been playing it for quite a while. So I know a lot more than the average person hopping in, which I can see at the surface. It's like, I could see someone making a judgment call where they're like, "Hey, I get it. You run around the map and you kind of shoot this monster, and then it's over." It's like, well, sort of. Like, that is the simple premise. That's the bare bones premise. But once you dig deeper, there's a lot of cool shit that you can do. Like, I started looking up like builds that you can do for the different monsters, and it's like, this is the super aggressive Goliath kill everybody at level one build, and it's like, okay, let's try that, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Then here's the late game build, and I thought that was pretty interesting, especially if just looking at one facet, and that's just the monster.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it. I think that the co-op that we played when we were just playing against the AI, you know, four players, we went through like the five rounds, you know, it was a lot of fun. I think the AI is pretty competent for the most part, though sometimes they'll make some, you know, it'll be stupid aggressive for one reason or the other. But yeah, I mean, I think it works well enough, and the game will kind of fill in slots for you if you don't have people as well. But I do think the one weird thing that seems missing to me, like, it's hard not to compare it to Left 4 Dead, especially considering, you know, totally the studio and stuff, is, you know, in a sense, it's basically the same in what they're doing. It's this replayable kind of narrative things, but they're just, the narrative of the levels themselves and how it ties it together feels a bit weaker than it was in Left 4 Dead. In Left 4 Dead, you kind of were thrust into different scenarios, and you knew the overarching kind of theme that held those levels together. And even though, like, the formula was identical almost in every case, you still felt like going back for more. And I think in Evolve, there's a little something missing there, like, on that side. They do stuff with scoring and things like that, so you can kind of, you know, try and better what you're doing with certain weapons and the hunters and stuff like that. But I don't know. It just... Maybe because the matches are a lot quicker, too. Like, you know, rounds can last, like, 5 minutes and you're done.
The barrier of entry... And part for that game, at least from the hunter side, is playing with friends. Like, it's great when you play with friends, but if you just hop in and grab a couple of random folks, most folks are going to want to obviously kill the hunter, but you fall into the usual trap when you get into a lot of these sort of semi esports kind of games where you pick up a random group and, why don't you just play in your class, and all kinds of things are just like, you should be playing this better, and da 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 da. That just makes it a real turnoff to actually go in and enjoy what that game is about. Like, enjoy the sort of 4v1 aspect of it. If you don't mind going solo, just hopping into any match as a hunter or as a monster is perfect for you, because you don't have to care. You don't have to talk with anybody. You just go in there and you just try and, you know, you have that feeling of, well, I just took down four dudes, so what's up? I got the biggest EP on the internet now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Nick, with regards to it not having the same feeling, because those levels in Left 4 Dead were themed, right? Those scenarios were themed. Like, Dead Harvest, you knew it was centered around, like, agriculture stuff, going through farms and that sort of thing, and you knew, like, at different points what would happen, even though there was the AI director, whereas this is more of an arena, and the levels it's not constructed in a way where you're, like, going down corridors. You're like, no, you're placed in this big arena, go.
Yeah.
It's like Biodome with this giant monster, survive. So I still think you'll get the same sort of emergent stories from it, where it's like, hey, remember last night when, like, oh, I threw up that dome and then you called down that wicked airstrike? Like, I still think you'll get that with Evolve, but you won't have the, like, that same sort of attention to the each level, or same affection of the levels. Because, like, I don't know the maps. I couldn't tell you the map names right now. Like,
they all kind of blend together, right?
Yeah.
Like they really
it's
do.
It's like a kind of a circle with some hills and some caves. And
I think, too, that the characters in Evolve, like, they're a bit harder to relate to. In some senses, like, they've got, like, the cheesy, stupid dialogue, like, where you're waiting in the dropship and stuff like that. But I think, like, you don't have your Bill from, you know, from Left 4 Dead, or your I don't know. Some of the characters in Left 4 Dead really were iconic, and people related to their witty dialogue and stuff like that. And they tried to do it with
it's
the ball.
Sort of there.
Yeah, it's there's some stuff I've definitely gotten a chuckle at, but I don't know. It's a good game.
It's a good game. We're definitely nitpicking it, but like, you're not going to have a pills here one liner.
Yeah, popping pills.
We're not going to see that. But
nope. You're going to talk about scratching some dude's ass.
Yeah, what the hell was that? But that being said, I am really enjoying the game. I think it's a lot of fun. Definitely way better, like Jason said, with friends. Like, I don't like playing it solo, to be honest. Like, I don't like, unless I have at least like three people to play with. But if you had a party of five and you just rotated out who the monster was, I think that would be the best. Like, it'd be so fun. Even four is good, but like, having that one guy is like, you know, you're just all on a Skype call or something, or one guy sits out of the room on TeamSpeak or whatever, and you just kind of rotate through. I think that is a really, really fun night of gaming.
Yeah, I've actually played a bit solo, like, just because I jump into a quick solo match and jump out because of time constraints. And it's been a nice distraction. Like I said, the AI is competent enough that it's not bad. It's not ideal. It's not as fun as when you play it in co-op, but it's not bad.
And really, I think, like, it's a good way, too, to, like, maybe unlock some of the characters or unlock some of the monsters. Like, you still get points for all that, which is nice. And even though that is hidden behind an experience wall, you can grind those out pretty quickly. Like, you can get to, like, I got to Kraken, I think, in a night, if that, and then I haven't got to Wraith yet, because I stopped playing Monster, because I actually like playing as the Hunters better. So there's something about just going out and being like, hey, let's do this. Let's try and outsmart this guy. So it's fun. But let's put a bow on that. Evolve, it's out for everything now. Well, current generation, it's not on last generation consoles. But we're all playing on PC, and I think I mentioned on the stream, but I didn't mention anywhere on the site, that there is, or maybe I said it on Twitter, but like, like night and day difference between performance between the beta and the final release. Like, I was like worried a bit, but now absolutely awesome, running great, and I'm on a 760, I think, 760, something like that. So what else, Jason, what else you been doing other than hunting monsters?
Of the evolve kind. I've been
Darwin's hunting.
That's
challenge.
Right. Jeez, I got back into Warframe for a little bit on the PS4 to check out what's been going on.
Yeah,
with
I downloaded that. I was gonna check it out.
It's, I think the last time I played was May of last year.
Whoa.
I think that's right. Because I can't remember, something came out at that point in time, and then I never came back to it. But Destiny's kind of hit a lull for me, and so other folks were like, well, what else is on the PS4? Like, the usual rating group that I go with is like, what else is on the PS4? I was like, well, there's Warframe. A couple of guys were playing that, so I hopped back into it. Man, that game has changed a lot in a year. We posted all the updates and stuff, but to actually see it in action, just kind of what they've done with it, it looks a hell of a lot better than it did.
So they got to be making money, hey?
They got some money from me, so, I mean, I'm sure there's other whales out there that, you know, is helping to fund it all. It's, not only does it look better, a lot of the melee combat is one of the things that they improved, which is really kind of cool. They put in these things called stances that you can, it's a mod that you add to certain weapon classes, and they have a few different stances, and they do different combos for that. The idea is really cool. When you pull it off, it's like Devil May Cry or any of those things, because it's like, awesome. You know, you melee, pause, melee, and it does, you know, different animation effects and has different things that happen. The idea of it is cool. The fact is, though, it's not one of those games. You don't have, like, a lock-on feature that will take you to the next enemy partway through the combo. Most enemies don't live long enough for you to finish a combo. I mean, so it's good in certain situations, you know, and it looks cool, but it doesn't still have as much of an effect as just shoot everybody.
Right.
They did do some tweaking to the whole interface thing, so I actually had to kind of relearn the interface, but it is a whole lot better to work with than it was before. They have better intro missions now. There's like two series of intro missions that kind of introduce you to the different pieces of it and what you have to do. Introduce you to the different mission types a little bit better. there's still a gap. There's a pretty big gap in knowledge in terms of once you clear those missions, it's what do you do next and what are the different damage types? Why should I care about this mod or that stuff? I mean, like, what is my overall purpose? To which...
What is my purpose in life?
Really, I mean, you know, I mean, like, for Diablo, you can say, well, it's, you know, you go get all the set pieces or you go get that legendary gear. In Warframe, it's you want to get mods and rank up certain mods that are going to make your guns better. And then you want to level up those guns to, like, level 30, use a special piece of equipment that resets them back to level 1, but when you reset it, you can add one of the little polarity slots that all the mods have, so you can therefore add higher level mods to that gun than you could before. And you can kind of repeat that process, you know, throughout the different Warframes and the different weapons and everything else until you're a badass space ninja that tears everything up.
Do you still switch a lot between melee and ranged?
Yeah, I mean, like, any given battle that you go into, especially, like, they have different missions now that are, like, survival missions. Yeah, I mean, you're going to be shooting guys, and then, you know, there's guys who are going to come up close to you, so it's easier just to melee them than shoot at them because it can take out swaths of them. I mean, they have a lot of different melee weapon types, so they have actually now a sword and board combo that you can use, and part of what they've done with the melee change is that if you switch solely to your melee weapon, which is, like on the PS4, you hold down the triangle button, when you switch it over for that, you have a block command now, so you can actually block incoming stuff, and it does less damage to you, so... You know, for that, you put up your shield and you're kind of like walking down the field and you go up and then you start swinging away at guys. They have bow staffs now. They had them some before, but they have a few more. So those, you're like, you're twirling around in front of you and deflecting shots off. There's mods that actually increase your deflection such to the point that, like, you could take less damage and bullets are now hitting guys back. So, I mean, they've definitely improved that part of it, and they made it so that if you wanted to go fully melee... you probably could. I mean, you'd have to get kind of like the right mods and find the right weapon and stuff like that, but you could do that and just tear through enemies as well as people with guns. And, you know, it depends too. Some Warframes are better built for it than others because some have more life or more stamina or whatever than others, but yeah, it's interesting what they've done with that. Anybody who's, you know, still on the fence about free-to-play games, there's a lot of grinding involved with it that has not changed. It's gotten a little bit more obtuse in some ways because they've added things like factions now, so you can actually get faction points. And as you level up one faction, it's going to unlock certain things for that faction, but they have an enemy, so it, like, lowers your ranking with another one, and so new enemies start appearing because you've gotten so negative with that other one. So there's a lot, there is a level added obtuseness to it. At the same time, it's never been better. Like, compared to a year ago, it's still a great free-to-play game. It's still a lot of fun, especially with friends. Like, I usually hop in, play a couple rounds with Andrew or with Mike or something like that, and it's enough that if you just run some of those missions, you get stuff out of it. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool, man.
So aside from that, I've been playing some Majora's Mask on the 3DS. I've never played that game before, but I picked up the remake of it. It's interesting. It's a different Zelda.
Yep. That's pretty universal.
Yeah. I'm curious to see more of it. I've only really played through, like, the first full day, or, you know, the first full cycle, but it's pretty interesting. I like the fact that you become a to-do boy, just errand boy running all over the place, doing people's shit.
Yeah. Link is the bitch of high.
I have a confession.
What's that?
The only Zelda game I've truly liked is the very first one.
What? That's not bad.
I've never gotten into any of the 3D
ones. The first one is so hard.
Yeah, it's the only Zelda game I've truly enjoyed, and I've tried to get into all the other ones.
What about Link to the Past?
Link to the Past, or Ocarina of Time, I think you should definitely give it a second chance.
Yeah, I've picked up... It's the same problem I have now with almost every new Nintendo release. I I see it, I get hyped for it, I pick it up and play it, and about an hour in, I'm like, nope.
Okay, I get it.
It just does not hold my interest anymore. But I could still go back and play the original Zelda, and it does. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I want to. I really want to like them. I've tried, and I have. What was the first one that came out on 3DS? Was that Ocarina?
Was it Ocarina Time
Remake? Yeah.
That. So I had that, and I played it, and I put a couple hours into it, but it's just.
I get it with the 3D ones. I definitely understand that. Like Ocarina of Time was one of those ones that it was. I did not pick up the remake of it because I was just like, I enjoyed that on the 64. I enjoyed it at that time because that was the console that I had and I was excited about it and it was, you know, mind-blowing for me or whatever. It's not a game that I think I could go back to and be like, yeah, this is still, you know, this is still great.
Zelda's weird because if you think about it, like, what genre is Zelda? It's like a puzzle game. It is an adventure game. It's got some weird action combat going on. Like, it's this weird mishmash that's hard to categorize, and it's missing a lot of systems that will hook people. Like, it takes a bit to get into Zelda, I think. Like, if you play the first hour, that's why I encourage people to play past, like, the first couple hours of Majora's Mask, because it gets rad, And it's weird because a lot of Zelda games take a little while to get going, and I don't know, like, why they're so like, they're good, but, like, that formula, making it start out slow and then getting good, like, that's not a recipe for success, like, you know, over the last 25 years. Like, what the hell?
And yet, look at Dark Souls. But no, anyways. but, I mean, Link to the Past is one thing that surprises me, like, I would think that would be one that you'd have an easier time getting into, just because the 3D ones, I think, are real hit or miss, but the top-down perspective from Link to the Past, and that was such a good follow-up game.
Well, what was the most recent one that just came out that was the top-down 2D?
It was like Link Between Worlds, I think, right?
Between Worlds, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that, and it was okay, but again, I got to kind of like a point, it was just like, I don't know. That's my gaming confession for tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
I mean, like, at least if you're gonna like one, you're liking the very classic one.
It still
is great. It's still a great game. I have a secret confession. I kind of like Zelda 2 a little bit more than Zelda 1. I don't know what it is. Zelda 2 has one of the jankiest, dumbest systems.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird,
but
dude.
I liked that side scroll. I don't know, something about that, the way that they did that side scrolling of it was really addictive.
Weird RPG mechanics.
Yeah.
I never was able to finish that one. I couldn't. It was too hard. And I was little and sucked.
I rented that game probably like 5 or 6 times from Blockbuster and felt so good about when I beat it. And I picked it up the other day, like on the virtual console or something like that, and started playing through it. It still plays the exact same how I remember it. That does not bother me in the least that it's still that janky. Something about it, though. I don't know. It's weird.
That's crazy. Nick, you been playing anything else this past couple weeks?
No, but you kind of bring up a good little discussion point. Because I've been doing BSA development still and playtesting and all that good stuff. And I had an interesting conversation with a coworker today about it. And the problem that we have with the game, I think, is kind of what you just described. There's this slow ramp up in the beginning. And, you know, our first, like, we'll say, like, 6 or 8 missions, you're still kind of, like, the first 4 are definitely, like, tutorial missions, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, the next 4 are kind of easing you into the game. And it isn't until, like, after those missions that you've got enough stuff upgraded into your ship that it feels a little bit cooler and stuff like that. And I think a problem we've had with the game in the past is, like, it's kind of a turnoff right away, like, to fly the ship.
Your ship kind of sucks, right? Because you have that RPG system, like, it doesn't feel good to fly. It takes a couple shots to hit, take something out. Yeah. You know, your scrap doesn't come, like, yeah, there are a couple things, but, like, once you hit mission 6, you're like, oh, sweet, like, my dude's kind of going.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So I found out, you know, I've been putting out, like, some beta keys and just to some random folks and watching, like, the play times and stuff, and I can see, like, a lot of folks are stopping at a certain point because of that. And so I need to, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way, and it's not going to happen in time for release, but a way to kind of showcase or entice the player to, like, yeah, you know, you're gonna get badass, but it doesn't take much further. You just, you know, get a little bit more into it, you know, unlock this and that, and you know, short of the traditional, here you are with all of the upgrades and how awesome you are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you lost them.
Take it away.
Right? You know, took it away. You had this really cool ship, and now you got to start. Like, I don't want to do that. It's so cliche. So I don't know. I like, but it's interesting because that's, you know, kind of what you're talking about with like Zelda and stuff. You know, you got to stick with it for a little bit till you get to it. It's the same kind of issue to some degree.
Yeah, it's a weird problem because like, there's some games like that have a trait or a hook or a system that will hook you right away. The first thing that comes to mind is like Rogue Legacy. It's like you die right away, then you see that your lineage, you spawn a different guy, and then you carry on like it's like roguelike plus, and it's like it hooks you right away. And if you don't like that, then you just write it off right there. And it's not like you're going to play 3 hours of Rogue Legacy and kind of figure out what's going on. Like,
right.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. But, so, I don't know. I gotta kind of think on that. And I have a couple ideas kicking around in my head to at least, you know, reinforce that it's all about upgrading, you know, collecting the scrap, upgrading your ship, and making it better and cooler. Because, like, it's funny playing it. You know, I haven't really played through it in probably a good year. And some of the later missions, like, we just do some really wacky stuff, and I'm like, oh, man, I forgot we did this. This is really cool. And, yeah, it'd be a shame for people not to be able to experience that. I think it's different when you play co-op in that game. It's a little bit easier to get past that hump, and it bounces out. But if you're by yourself and you're just kind of exploring it, I think it's a little bit of a turnoff those first couple missions.
My favorite thing was just, like, what kind of got past me, I think, was, or what got us past it, is when I was playing with my buddies, we like were sort of discovering in the first couple missions what each of the ships did, because we played as different ships. So it was neat to be like, oh, you're the big fatty, like you get to shoot out turrets and stuff, and it's like you're the little guy that goes around really quickly and picks up scrap and shoots guys and scouts and stuff like that. But that was a cool element of it, was like, because we force ourselves to all pick the different ship, or pick a different ship, then we're like, okay, you do this, you do this. And we're kind of establishing our roles. And then once we had enough scrap to level up and like sort of, the word escapes me, not min max, but like choose your
specialize,
like, specialize the, yeah, thank you. Specialize the ship, where it's like, okay, you are DPS. You're the medium fighter that can take out a lot of stuff. It's like, okay, you're the tank. Okay, you're the missiles guy, that sort of thing. And I thought that was a really interesting way to play it, which I'm sure you probably thought of, but at the same time, not everyone's going to have that opportunity, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. The game's designed to have like one of each ship in there, because it's like you said, you got the small guy's kind of got the, he's your healer. He doesn't deal a lot of damage, but he's fast and can kind of get around. And then you have your balanced one that kind of... Mm-hmm. The balance ship is kind of there for single player, can hold his own, but he also can lay out a good amount of damage. You know, the heavy one is kind of a little more tankish, can take a lot more hits and, you know, defensively. And then there's the big... I call it the mule ship, but, you know, can just hold a ton of salvage and kind of ferry it back and forth between the generators to heal it and stuff. And so, it'll be interesting. I hope some folks give it a fair shot on Steam. Like I said, we plan on like supporting it past release, and we have a couple ideas kicking around of some things we want to add. And, I'm just hopeful like there's a little bit of a community built around it. Steam makes it a lot easier to build those communities and stuff around it. So I'm kind of anxious to tweak and update and
I think the ecosystem is pretty nurturing, because you can go in there and have discussions and people don't have to go to an external website and that sort of thing. So I think it's a really good platform to do your thing. And I'm interested to see sort of your aftermath, and we sort of talked about this, sort of the changes that you've done, but also the like releasing on Steam versus releasing on other platforms like Xbox, XBLA, and Desura, and that sort of thing, and seeing like what, like, what's different, because, like, yeah. I don't know, I haven't developed a game before, so yeah, it'll be an interesting exercise, but a postmortem, that's what I was looking for, postmortem on BSA. Jason, what games have you been developing, huh?
Feeding my cat automatically, so he leaves me alone.
Nice. I've been trying to feed my tiny human automatically.
How's that working?
It's not good. It spills all over his face and doesn't work all that well. What else have I been playing? I just gotta check my Steam here. And
You know what I did play a little bit of? I checked out Offworld Trading Company.
How is it? I was intrigued by the premise.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's a space economy simulator.
Yeah, okay.
I guess it's the best way to describe it.
Still with you?
Yeah. So you have an outpost, and you have, I don't know, there's like, again, I've only played a couple of tutorial missions, but maybe there's like 10 raw resources, and they're all over the map, and you have a certain amount of spaces you can put stuff in to mine that resource, and then certain amount of spaces you can put to refine the resource into stuff, and then you want to buy resources that you might need at a lower price, and then sell the ones that you have much of at a higher price, and you kind of have this, it's on the left side of the screen, it's kind of this running ticker of all that's going on, and so you're kind of constantly putting things in and out, you're finding the better places on the map to place down the things, and I don't know, like real early obviously, but it's got a cool little aesthetic to it.
That's
cool. Play a little bit of that.
I looked at that and I was like, that is kind of neat, because I actually like sort of economy games like Patrician and Port Royale. They're kind of relaxing, but you're like, oh, I gotta get the best deals for my tobacco.
Yeah.
To have that in a sci-fi setting is pretty cool. I've been just plugging away at Wasteland 2. It's friggin' long, but awesome. Like, it's so good. Again, if you like the old Fallouts, go play Wasteland. Like, you have no reason not to. And what one thing that frustrates me with that is, it's a 40-hour game. I've built my party. They made it so you can't do everything, which I'm okay with. But I just feel kind of bad because I'll never, like, get a storyline of a NPC I could have hired because I didn't have enough charisma. Like, I needed a guy with a ton of charisma to hire this one guy, and I'll never get his sort of dialogue tree and that sort of thing, which I'll never play through the game again just because it's so, so long. I had an awesome weekend story with, and I know I'm not the only one who's done this, but I bought the Jackbox Party because it was on sale on the co-op Steam sale. That game is the best party game. It's just like,
yeah,
get on your and it uses phones as controllers, and it's got Jack, you don't know Jack, all the episodes from the last game they released, like, what, 5-6 years ago or something. The Xbox 360 version. It's got all the episodes from that, and then it's got four other games that are like, some of them are good, some of them are kind of shit, but, like, there's one that's kind of like Balderdash, there's one kind of like Pictionary, it's really funny, and it uses, the best thing is, like, we were literally, like, cooking dinner and just walking in and playing a couple rounds, then walking out, and people just put in the code on their phone, and they can see it on the TV, and just go, and it's like $25, or I think it was on sale for, like, $18, but we had so much fun doing that, and we had, like, 8 people going. It was rad. So I
That's
highly
cool.
suggest, if you have more than 3 people around and you need something to do on a Friday night, do that any night. It doesn't matter what night it is.
So
it
what does it do?
Time.
Is it an app you have on your phone for?
No,
or just a website?
It's just a website. You go to Jackbox TV. You put in when you start the game, it's like, put in this code. So you put in the code on your device. So it's web based.
Uh-huh.
So we had like people that didn't even have, like, I don't know, if someone had a shitty phone, I was like, here, use my iPad. So they just put it in on their iPad. That being said, the iPad has a distinct advantage in the Pictionary part of this.
Yes.
But yeah, you go to the website, you put in the code, and it pops you up on the screen saying, lock is here. You know, my wife is here. This person's here. And then you just hit the ready button when everyone's in the game that you want to be in the game. And then it
That's
goes.
Cool.
And it's so smart.
I love stuff like that.
It's so friggin' smart. Like, and it's funny, too, because like the Balderdash one, it's called Fibbage. And it's, you like fill in the blank and you type in your word. So if like you misspell it, like you're obviously not going to win because people will be like, oh, who's the idiot that fumbled their word before they put it in? But there are some really, really, good rounds that we played. And yeah, that was a super refreshing experience for some sort of local multiplayer stuff. So
nice.
And again, like, accessible to everybody, doesn't matter who you are. So
you can even do it remote, right? Because if you just share the room code with a group of friends,
That, you can totally do it over Skype. And I think like the latency, the only place that it would maybe happen to mess up is on like the Jack Attack, where you have to hit the button really quickly.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's still fun. Like, you're still having fun with friends. So yeah, if you don't have any people living with you or around you, phone up some people on Google Hangouts or Skype and toss around the room code and go for it. So, yeah, that's about it.
Sorry, that runs off of Steam.
It's off Steam. It's off PS4. It's on everything, Wii U and Xbox One. So nice. I just grabbed it on Steam because that's the easiest thing to sort of transport around my house. Like,
yeah,
I could literally, like, if we were playing upstairs, I plugged in my laptop to the TV and it just went. And then if I play in, like, the big family room, I have an HDMI cable running. So, yeah, whatever, wherever lots of people are going to be sitting, buy it on that thing. So,
sounds good.
Cool. Any other games before we move on? I think that's quite a bit. Evolve, go play it. Go get it. It's fun. A little bit of stuff going out around on the site. Was there anything in particular? I just picked a couple stories in chat there, boys. Was there anything you wanted to talk about in particular? We had Evolve Co-op Fact.
Co-op sale you mentioned.
Yeah, the Steam sale. I picked up, what did I pick up? A couple things, I can't remember. But, well, the Jackbox I picked up. That was the biggest one. They had stuff like Saints Row, Gauntlet, was another notable one. Orcs Must Die. Oh, I didn't buy Gang Beasts, but I might use that for my next sort of in-house tournament.
Doesn't have co-op yet? That was interesting. A lot of those things, I'm like, they don't... I mean,
some of them don't have it in yet. But,
yeah. Yeah.
Gang Beasts actually isn't really co-op. Some people get confused between, like, local multiplayer and co-op.
Well, it's supposed to have, like, what I've heard is that it's supposed to have at some point a co-op mode.
Yeah,
but
it's still in early access. So
yeah, and its current build does not have it.
Yeah,
even by the loosest stretch of the imagination.
Broforce, Chariot, Magicka, some good stuff in there. Also,
always a fan of Chariot.
They had Dying Light Season Pass, kind of detailed that, but they also have some DLC out. However, there's some free content that you can get, so there's some new skins you can get, as well as a hard mode, which I don't have enough information. I don't know what hard mode does, other than probably make the zombies more difficult. Sorry, the infected, not the zombies.
Do they really need to be more difficult?
No, the ones at night mess you up, dude. And the ones at the start of the game, I feel bad for people that try, like, and I think I mentioned this in the review, is like people that go into that game and try and kill the zombies at the start of the game, and you're just like whacking it in the head with a stick, and it takes about like 10 whacks, and you're like, this sucks, like the combat in this blows. It's like, yeah, it blows, so don't use it. Like, run away until you have a French ranch. Like, seriously. Yeah, don't fight in Dying Light until you get decent weapons, because there's no point, and the parkour is way better than the combat. Broforce had an Alien Infestation update, So
we gotta play some of that and stream. I think we should stream that maybe next week. I don't think
let's do that. It's been updated like 18 times since last time we streamed it. So
yeah.
Has a release of what, 2016?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's supposed to be May of this year was what we were told at E3 last year. So hopefully they're still on target for that.
Yeah, I've tried. Or made sort of a rule not to play too much early access stuff because I'm running into that problem, Nick, where you like kind of get spoiled and then you're sick of it by the time it gets released. So I'm like, there's like a very few number of games where I like Don't Starve Together I've been playing religiously and I'm just like, it's done. Like, guys, it's just done. Come on.
Yeah.
Whereas Broforce is like, they just keep changing it and keep updating it and it's like, it's weird. It's weird that game is still in early access. So, but yeah, we'll think about streaming that next Monday. I didn't know about this, which is so weird, such a weird coincidence. I was thinking about doing a Let's Play on a new Guild Wars character, Guild Wars 2, but they're coming out with an expansion, which I didn't know, which is kind of neat. So NCSoft's Guild Wars 2 is not free to play. It's one of the only, but you buy it and then you don't have to pay a subscription. But lots of in-game transactions and that sort of thing.
Free of subscription.
Thank you. Free of subscription. But their first expansion is called Heart of Thorns, and it's got a new profession called the Revenant. More late game stuff, which is something that MMOs always fall into, is not enough late game stuff. Couple new zones, new PvP, and new world versus world, which is actually super strong in Guild Wars. I when I do hop in, it's very, very popular, which is cool. I never really get into PvP with MMOs. It just seems weird. But yeah, that is coming out. They got a trailer out, and we got that up on the site. So if you're a fan of Guild Wars and need a reason to get back into that, look no further.
Far Cry 4's map editor is looking pretty banging. Did you see
that? They know how to do... Those guys know how to do a map editor, man. Like, and having... Being able to build with your buddies is...
Co-op map editing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. Where did I see that? That's in... not Castle Crashers. What's the other game that the Behemoth made? The last one they just made. Battle Block Theater had a co-op map editor, which is nice because it's always intimidating. At least I find it's intimidating to go in and be like, "Okay," unless you have a purpose in like something like Far Cry, you're gonna be like, "Okay, I'm gonna build a replica of this fortress or whatever." You can go in there and sort of experiment like Minecraft style, and when you're doing it with buddies, you're like, "Hey, I have this cool idea. Come see this," and it's like, you have a sweet elephant pen, and over here some guy built a treehouse, and then the nice thing about Far Cry 4 is that you can go and like give it objectives and like have an actual match. Mm-hmm. Whereas that's the sort of disconnect for me in stuff like Minecraft. Whereas like Far Cry 4, you make something, give it a purpose, then play it.
Yeah, I'm surprised like Minecraft and those kind of games don't have the option to like do that, add objectives or like goals,
like,
or
goal, even like platforming goals, like
collect this shiny object.
Totally.
Doesn't Minecraft have it in some way, but you have to like craft the objective? Like,
oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Like, dude, like, I am
use
so...
torches to like build a computer that first then places the objective somewhere that triggers like when you hit certain. I don't know. I've seen some crazy stuff that people have done with that, where like they've had it. Like logic sensors, almost like when people hit someplace, it triggers something that causes something
and
to happen, so that they can
it's
then
like this weird rude access machine.
Yeah, access something that lets them, you know. So basically, it's like, you know, let's build a dungeon, and they have to get to the bottom of the dungeon, and they have to pass through these certain things to get to the bottom of the dungeon. So they make an objective for the map, but it's a weird way of like doing it.
Which is, I think, one of the coolest things about Minecraft. But like me now, I'm so far removed from the game. Like me talking about Minecraft is like my mom talking about Nintendo now. Like, I have no idea. Like, they could have like made it so like you can vote for the president in Minecraft, and I wouldn't even know. Like, I have no idea what that game is other than you, it's like Legos in voxel space. Like that is,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. I actually said to a coworker today, I said 15-year-old me would have been all over Minecraft.
Yes.
But I can't now.
Like I need a start and a finish, please. but then again, I play Dota, so whatever. where there is no end. We got reviews, bunch coming up. Notably, my favorite is Construction Simulator 2015, which netted a nice 3.5. So that's good.
Make them union workers happy.
Again, construction. I'm glad simulator games exist, but they're just not for me, man. Like, I can appreciate Farm Sim 2014, 2015, no scope, corn shots, but...
what about spin tires, man? You know,
Goat Simulator?
Rubber in the Mud Simulator.
Spin tires, I mean...
Spin tires.
Spin tires was my favorite because of the stupid Russian choir music.
Spin tires is still my favorite video of ours, I think. Just... the unabashed glee from you and Mike
is ridiculous. Dying Light, Jason and I reviewed, gave it 4s. I really like that game. And then a bunch of other stuff. I'm glad that Dungeon the Endless. Who did you do that one eventually, Nick?
I think Jason did
Yeah.
Lead on that. Or did we do it? I don't remember.
Yeah, you did.
I think it was one of those things that we kind of co-opted again. And so,
yeah,
like, I wrote
a lot of the reviews are always, you know, a team effort.
Yeah, yeah, I like them that way. So yeah, that's what's going on around the site. Lots of Evolve stuff, lots of Dying Light stuff.
Yeah, we should have our Evolve review Thursday.
Thursday, wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we talk about this quite a bit in chat, but there's a ton of DLC for Evolve, right? Like $150, like we read. Like,
yeah,
$150 of like horse armor.
Which I'll how do you feel about that, you guys?
I don't care. Like, that's like, here's the thing.
It's all skins.
Yeah, this is the point where I've reached. Like, if people want to spend money on making their monster or their kraken or whatever look different, more power to you. Have fun with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's nothing wrong with a developer offering it because people will buy it. They need money somehow in some of these cases. Cool.
I really think it's cool. I just don't know, like, it's interesting that they would do it for such a big thing like Evolve. Like, again, it goes back to that conversation we had about adding a monster, how much it changes. But, like, skinning this stuff, like...
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine how long it takes to skin a monster and Evolve in, like, whatever they're using, like V-Ray or ZBrush or Cinema 4D. Like, I can't fathom it. But, like, I'm glad it exists because I really like seeing it. I really like that, and again, this is coming from me who spent $500 for Dota, and I'm surprised that exists, so I'm excited about it, but... Like you said, Nick, you said it best. Don't buy it. Like, vote with your wallet and don't buy it, because then they'll, you know, if there's a big enough if it doesn't sell that well, obviously you're going to tell them that focus your efforts on other things that, like, maybe will change gameplay or we'll get some new maps. Yeah. Like, they have plans for that, but it's cool that they've been able to pull enough resources together to skin their monsters.
Yeah, they actually said, they came out and said, like, all future maps are going to be free. You don't have to pay for access to, like, they don't want to split the community in that sense.
Totally. It's smart.
Which is a big problem with multiplayer only games these days.
Well,
Halo,
Call
of Duty and stuff. You miss out on the content updates. You miss out on, you know, you constantly split the community each time.
Or think about the people that can't afford to buy it at day one, and they grab it, say, for $30 or $20 or even $40, and it's like they miss out on that first map pack, and they're already missing out on, like, a lot of, you know, a lot of the experience.
Yeah.
So
They need to figure. Somebody needs to figure out a way to handle, quote unquote expansions, and not splinter the community in some way. Give something to the people that are paying the money for it. Yep. I don't know what it is. You know, whether it's exclusive skins or double experience or whatever. There's got to be something that you don't have to split the community.
Public beta access or something like that to the testing of the new monster or something like that before it ever hits, right? I mean, something like that where they get to go in, they get to see what the new monster is, they get their hands-on experience so that when it releases to the rest of the community, they're kind of familiar with it. I mean, I don't know. There's stuff that I think that would go.
There's got to be some stuff that they can do. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I hate it. Like, I'm a huge Halo fan, and I won't say they ruined the series, but they killed the multiplayer each time around with that by putting out those map packs. And I forget which one it was, but they used to do kind of a thing where you paid for it, you got it for a while, and then it was like a month later they released it for free or something. I can't remember what it was.
Remember that?
There was something they did where, like, yeah, everyone got access to it eventually, but I think it was like once the next map pack came out, the previous one became free. Yeah. Which, okay, maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and they're putting those out, I mean, you know, when Halo and Call of Duty are in, you know, their, you know, prime, like, they're cranking out map packs, what, every quarter? Something like that? Is that fair?
Yeah.
So, it's weird. I think you know, skins is one thing that I'm okay with. Like, I'm cool with horse armor. I'm a horse armor supporter because, again, it doesn't split the community. I think, and this actually goes to, and I won't get on this tirade for too long, but like, this is why I think like stuff like League of Legends and Blizzard, Heroes of the Storm, is worse than Dota, is because you don't have access to all the heroes, and that splits the experience, which sucks. And it's their main way of making money versus Valve's hats, and that's the biggest difference for me. Like, Heroes of the Storm, sure, you can go in and test the hero, but in order to play that, you got to buy it, and I don't agree with that because it splits the experience. Like, one person is getting a way different experience than another. So
are they doing the same model though, where it like cycles every few months for heroes?
I don't know if they've really announced.
They cycle it weekly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same as League of Legends. They cycle like 6 to 8 heroes weekly. So,
so you either buy it or you wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever for it to pop up again in the rotation.
Yeah, exactly. I've checked now. I think I forget which heroes I unlocked. Well, I had Kerrigan because I had StarCraft. I purchased StarCraft and something from, I think, Cataclysm or some WoW expansion, but I don't like when and again another example was the Call of Duty Zombies, that's hidden behind a friggin' map pack or an expansion, which sucks.
Not only that, they made it actually behind the season pass this time, you can't even get, like, you used to be able to buy it with like the map pack updates and stuff, but now you have to pay for the whole season to get it, which is just,
that sucks.
Bonkers.
Like, that I don't like. I would rather have horse armor in that case. Yeah. Like, let me purchase John Malkovich from Burn After Reading instead of having to get the damn season pass that I'm not gonna play the other maps on. So damn you kids. Okay, so that does it for site stuff, news stuff. Do we have any emails, any of that things? No voicemail.
No.
People got to send in some 2015 voicemails, please. Come on, get with it. We got some prime info here. Nick, you guys did some work on the site. Did you change anything on the front face side?
I mean, there's gonna be some more changes coming. We, you know, we changed our top bar a little bit and made it a little bit easier to find some content. We're gonna have some forum changes. Mostly our old forum we're retiring and gonna focus on meetup stuff eventually.
Woo.
Nice.
But what else? We got the nice cool video section on the front page. The Quathamus TV thing, so
I like that.
Yeah, I think it's nice. little bit more of a focus there. So, yeah, there'll be some more changes coming. I've got a nice workflow set up finally for the site to do changes more rapidly.
That's wicked.
So we'll see how it goes.
Other than that, yeah, I got a Char's coming out. When is that coming out on Steam?
March 3rd is the release date, so about 2 weeks. Actually, sweet. 2 weeks from tomorrow. So, yeah, I think we got like 3 more achievements to implement, and so the rest of this week is just going to be like adding some features and polish and some other stuff.
Adding that black hole expansion behind the season's pass.
we definitely want to. We've been talking about how we can add more modes to it and stuff. I don't think we're going to charge for it or anything, yeah. But we want to do some cool. Like maybe I don't want to call it an editor, but maybe just do like freeform levels. Like you pick a bunch of stuff to put in the level and it just starts it, and you can kind of play around it.
That's cool.
Would be cool. So
nice. Cool. Yeah. Trailer coming soon. My creative juices were dried up last week, so gotta get that going. I'm excited.
Dubstep.
I think we've got a. direction for it. Who knows? You never know what you can do.
Might 11 back, bajillion ships.
Might harken back to 2013, the year of dubstep. So
yeah.
Cool. I don't have the outro up on my screen yet.
That's all right. We don't need it.
You guys should follow us on Twitter and leave us feedback on your various podcast platforms. Twitter is Co-Optimus without the dash, by the way, for all your latest and greatest co-op news.
Call me voicemail.
646-926-6748.
Oh, there we go. I was just going to say, that it begins area code 646. Find out the rest. Just start dialing numbers until you get the Co-Optimus voicemail.
This, you know, I do have a wicked thing for show and tell. This won't come across well on the audio version of the podcast, but I do have this awesome
joy
poster that I finally got mounted, which is my minimalistic arcade poster that's just labeled Joy, and
has a joystick, little handleball, and a joystick button.
Yeah, it's really really slick.
I'll show my thing. I actually finally mounted my Moxie artwork I got at Comic-Con like 2 years ago.
Nice.
So she sits up next to my other Moxie I got from the gearbox.
And where's your where do you keep your wife's Moxie costume?
In the bedroom, sir.
Halloween. I am your claptrap to your Moxie.
What?
I don't know. Awesome. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening, watching, tuning in to Co-Opticast episode 138. On behalf of myself and my co-hosts, we've had a wonderful show. And remember to just play friendly out there, even if you are playing as the monster. Catch us every week, Monday nights. What are you, 10? Is it 10 or 10 EST?
Yeah.
Something like that. We'll be podcasting or streaming stuff. And thank you again all for listening and watching. We'll see you next week.
Peace.